Sunday Meditation, November 6, 2005. The question today has to do with the kinds of problems that we run into in our daily lives that seem to be repeating. They seem to be, well, after a while, they seem to be unsolvable, and it looks like the best you can do is just to keep dancing with them, keep working with them. And we're wondering if Quo has any comment that could be made to shed some light on what goes on in a seeker's life when you run into these problems, that maybe in relationships or maybe with yourself. Is it your psychic greeting? Is it something within yourself that wants to show you the dark side so that you can work on it? Could Quo comment on these problems that keep recurring in our lives that don't really seem to go away?
We are those of the principle known as the cool greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are in the creator's service as we speak with you at this time. Thank you for the privilege and the pleasure of being called to your circle of seeking. As always, we would ask of you that you employ your discriminatory powers in listening to what we have to say. Use that material that is helpful and seems resonant to you while leaving the rest behind. If you will take responsibility for doing this, it will enable us to speak freely without being concerned that we might infringe upon your free will. The gaudy, jewel and earth tones of your autumn leaves are swirling around in this instrument's mind as we settle into her question this day. And indeed, the gaudy and earth tones of your question swirl about as we contemplate our response. We thank you for this query concerning the seemingly insoluble and cyclical challenges of each of your incarnations. It is a characteristic of the density which you now inhabit that nothing is known. Everything is an illusion. The rainbow colors of your supposed problems and challenges have the same seduction. We correct this instrument, seductive value, as a display of beautiful clothing in a department store window has to this instrument. The way the human mind works is to gather these garments of thought as if they were apparel and coordinate the garments one with the other so that one is wearing a mental and emotional outfit that goes together. It is to be noted that much of the way patterns of thinking develop is as simple as that habit that entities such as this instrument have of going into the closet and selecting an outfit for the day that coordinates in terms of color and pattern. There is a surreal aspect to reality that cannot be shaken off or gotten rid of. It is part of the human condition. It is a good part of the human condition. It was created that third density be a density in which nothing can be known. In order that those who entered into the density would be able to do the work intended for this density. And that work is the seemingly simple, but in fact endlessly painstaking work of choosing what shall be the manner of your being. It is a very helpful thing to lose the leaves of all kinds of thought, feeling, and emotion from time to time, and to strip oneself down to the bare branches of one's true self. This instrument spoke in her journal. Recently, of this need to be naked of the clothing of those garments of emotion and personality that did not seem to her to be very indicative of any real beingness within herself. She was looking for the bare branches and the roots and trunk of her personality to find out more about who she really is. We would suggest to you that it is well to look at these cyclically recurring thematic challenges in this extended context of that image of the essential tree with its many colored leaves, which must fall from time to time, must come down and must be lost, in order that change and growth may take place. This is true for all entities, regardless of when they come to third density incarnation. It is especially true of an entity such as this instrument or those within this group. For each within this circle of seeking has made conscious agreements with the self to accelerate the pace of spiritual growth. Therefore, it is to be expected from such entities that these cycles of the self meeting the shadow self, shall we say, would be intensified. And there is another factor offering another layer or level of intensification. That extra factor is the times in which you are now living. Let us contemplate the times in which you are now living from our point of view. For we believe that this may add a dimension to your own thinking at this time. We have said before that your Earth at this time is being born as a fourth density planet, and indeed is alive and well. The third density planet, which gave birth to baby Gaia, that entity which we may call third density Gaia, has expressed a great deal of her energies in the nurturing of all of her third density tribe and family. The earth being that you call Gaia or Terra is a mother in love with the children, endlessly nurturing of them, always protective of them, and yet at the same time in harmony with the desire for growth and transformation that exists within the heart and the soul of each one of her children. As she has approached this last decade of her appropriate time to be alive, she has seen that the harvest of those who have chosen is still a slender one. Those who have taken incarnation at this time have taken incarnation knowing full well that time is short upon your planet for making the choice of how to be. There are those of you who traveled from other densities and other planets to this density and planet Earth in the hopes of being a part of that energy which would create the expression of light on planet Earth that would help entities to awaken to the realization of who they were as spiritual beings and of what they were here to do in terms of making the choice of the manner of their being. There are other entities whose hope is to wake up, having been unable to do so within third density in other third density cycles. The thing that each of you has in common with the other is that whether you are attempting to awaken from within the third density dream, or whether you have awakened within the dream but now are hoping to help others to awaken, your awakening is precious to you and central to your reason for choosing to take incarnation at this time. It is as if all of you are under pressure to graduate. If you will cast your minds back to your last graduation, you may remember the kind of pressure that this situation creates. There is the feeling of being tested and wondering if you have the knowledge to answer the questions on that test appropriately. There is that frantic feeling of not having enough knowledge and of knowing that you do not have the time that you would like to have in order to organize your thoughts. It seems as if a great deal is compressed into a very short amount of time. Your entire incarnation has this intensity at this time. And as we said, there are several layers to the reason for this intensity. It is intense because you are intense. It is intense because the earth is at an intense place. And it is further intensified by the great desire of each of you to do well at this time. So that you are, in effect, your own parents encouraging and urging you to study harder and get good grades. The one known as Connie was correct in saying that the cycling thematic challenges of an incarnation are not intended to be solved. And the one known as Carla was equally correct in describing the condition of being as that of dancing with the situation without any hope of solving or affecting the situation. These are positive and loving perceptions of a situation that might otherwise seem to be very frustrating. It seems frustrating when one attempts to solve a problem that will not solve. There is the natural desire to create order and beauty in any pattern of living or thinking. And we encourage your efforts to beautify your thoughts, your emotions, and your being as you can. But we would ask you to remember that your goal is growth, progress, and transformation. You are asking yourself to change and to become that which you do not yet understand. When you ask Spirit for the opportunity to grow, change, and transform, Spirit is ever ready to offer you those opportunities. When the opportunities to grow are offered to you, they will tend to express themselves in terms of your thematic incarnational lessons. It is not that you are getting a direct repetition each time that such cyclical problems come up. Each situation that you experience, no matter how closely you can identify it in kind with previous occurrences of this same theme in your life, the consciousness that takes in this current, fresh, new version of the thematic challenge is a new being facing a new problem. Fortunately, you have the tremendous advantage of having identified the recurring and thematic incarnational lesson, or you would not have asked this question. simply realizing how growth works and what its mechanisms are. Is an extremely powerful resource. Becoming comfortable with discomfort is a very helpful resource as well. We enjoyed the conversation which took place before this channeling session began. For there was genuine laughter as the ones known as Carla and Connie spoke of their recurring difficulties. That laughter was not angry or hysterical, but rather was the relaxed enjoyment of that which is truly funny. One of your most powerful resources in doing spiritual work of this kind is a sense of proportion or a sense of humor. And we are very glad that you are able to relax with each other and feel comfortable in your discomfort. We acknowledge and sympathize with that discomfort. It is not a comfortable or easy thing to create within the self the environment that welcomes growth. We have talked recently with this group about the tremendous courage it takes to put down the current pattern of one's life and thoughts, to empty the mental and emotional pockets of all preconception, and to say, I am empty, and I would ask what spirit would like to say to me now. How may I serve? How may I learn? How may I grow? Casting those requests to the wind of spirit is a wonderfully powerful act. What occurs thereafter is often what this instrument would call the silly season. The sky seems to fall in on one. All patterns seem to fall into chaos. And entities which normally behave in such and such a way suddenly seem to be behaving otherwise. Whatever the shape and nature of the challenge that you experience because you have asked to grow, it takes you from the precincts of tidy and orderly living into a seemingly darker and much more shadowy atmosphere, where it is impossible to see around corners or ahead very far. There is the feeling of being in darkness and unable to discern the shape and true form of one's thoughts and feelings, and indeed of the thoughts and feelings of others. There are feelings of isolation, and even of being stranded in a place far from comfort, with the ghosts of one's past crowding around making rude comments upon the current situation. We would ask you to step back when you begin to feel blocked in by this darkness, for help is near. That help does not exist within third density. And its world of illusion. That help comes from a world which interpenetrates your third density illusion. That world in which truth, beauty, wisdom, and justice walk as entities. That is the world of time-space, or the metaphysical world. It is that place from which your inspiration comes. Your heart dwells at all times in this metaphysical world. The safe place that you need in order to move through these cyclical times of difficulty lies within you. And yet you must journey to it as if you were a stranger coming from afar to the city gates of your own heart. Your inner heart is a world unto itself. It carries your truth. It carries your identity. It is the resting place of the one infinite creator. When you sleep, your personality shell curls up for some rest, and the truth of you comes out to play, to express, to stretch its muscles and its sensings. And in dreams and visions, this true self of yours communicates with your surface self as best it can. When you meditate and enter the silence you can hope to enter those precincts of sacredness and truth. We find the phrase or the image of dancing with your incarnational lessons very apt. Because in a way, your entire life is truth dancing with the illusions necessary to create an environment in which the shadow of truth may be visible. In a way, that is the nature of third density life. It is a shadow life. And yet that shadow contains as much truth as is bearable in a learning environment. You have placed yourself in an environment which can be anything you wish to make of it. For many people, so great is their desire for comfort that their every concern is simply to seal up any possibility of letting the light in so that they may remain safely asleep. We are not speaking to those who wish to remain asleep, however. We are speaking to those who genuinely, authentically wish to awaken, to greet the day that has been given them, and to take hold and make of the incarnation that which they intended before they set out on this journey from birth to death in third density. We feel the truth of your great desire to fulfill this pattern of growth and service. We cannot find enough ways to express to you how exciting we find your adventures. We see all too clearly the perfection of the Creator's plan. And we are aware of your blindness. It is therefore very exciting to us to see how you step forth so bravely into the arena of everyday life, armed only with your faith. Certainly, how to find that faith is a question unto itself. for faith is created out of nothing. Perhaps you are aware of the figure of the 22nd archetype in the tarot deck of the Fool, stepping out over the abyss into nothingness. That is how you find faith, my friend. And so it is with the dance that you do with your incarnational lessons. When you hear the music and recognize that your light motif is playing for you once again, we encourage you not to be concerned that you do not know the steps. Arise and join the dance. The steps will come to you as you free yourself to experience them by giving up the safety of your seated position. May we ask if there is another query at this time?
We have one from Gary. He says, the book one of Law One has a quote from Ra that says, "The mystery and unknown quality of the occurrences we are allowed to offer have the hope or intention of making your peoples aware of infinite possibility. When your peoples grasp infinity, then and only then can the gateway be opened to the Law of One." End quote. Could Quo offer any thoughts as to what Ra meant by this infinity that needs grasping in order to open the gateway to the Law of One? What is it and what is it not?
We are those of Ukuo and are aware of your query, my brother. As we were speaking of the difference between consensus reality or the world of illusion and the metaphysical universe or the world of time-space, we were speaking of a finite universe as opposed to an infinite universe. Your everyday consensus reality is measurable. One can measure the terrestrial ball upon which you walk. One can measure the beat of your heart and the pressure of your blood. One can use instruments to discover the exact electrical charge and value. One can use instrumentation to measure the charge and electrical value of each thought that you think. The world of metaphysics is not measurable by such instrumentation as you are aware of in your everyday world. It is a world in which virtually anything is possible because you are unbounded by any limitation whatsoever except those you create for yourself. The world of time-space is the world of consciousness. It is the world of infinity and eternity. The reason it is difficult for us to describe this to you is that your mind is a space-time artifact. The intellectual brain, that marvelous problem-solving biocomputer, is not capable of grasping the infinite. It can only grasp it by saying, oh, it is that which goes beyond that limit. But since the mind thinks in finite terms, there is always an end to that place that is beyond. And then infinity must again be invoked so that that limit too is transcended. As far as we know, it is not possible intellectually to conceive of infinity. It is, however, possible to experience the infinite. The infinite is that world in which you exist without masks. You have journeyed to the world of finity in order to do work in consciousness that must be done. Without recourse to that point of view that is full of love, wisdom, and knowledge. So we would say to you, my brother, that the value of the infinite can only be known by you in experiencing the infinite directly. That is what work in consciousness concerns itself with. You are a living and breathing meeting place of the finite and the infinite in every cell of your body. There is that aspect which experiences life and death, and there is that aspect which was never born and which shall never die. That infinite aspect does not know itself, for it is wrapped up and lost in the Creator itself. You, as a finite being, are the place where great truths and infinite values meet. That environment which creates form. And gives shape to the dance of the Creator learning to know itself. Seen from a certain point of view, all of creation can seem whimsical. Why would the Creator wish to know itself? It is already itself. You are proof positive that the Creator has a whimsical side. We offer you these thoughts, my brother, and are glad to welcome further questions on this point at a later time. Is there another query at this time?
I have a question from an instrument who asks, two of our community have fallen painfully in the last week and people have expressed disharmony in an unusual manner. Can you comment in any way that you might think might be helpful concerning these disharmonies?
We are those of Ukuo and are aware of your query, my sister. The one known as Carlo, when speaking of the experience of tripping and falling in the dark, said that she thought it was highly symbolic that the mishap occurred in the dark. And we would agree with her statement. Sometimes the simplest and most obvious points about a symbolic event are also the most helpful when thinking about the nature of such events. There is a certain amount of pride in the creation of any group. Those who create such a group supposedly have created the group because they have a certain vision. When such a group gathers, the question of vision becomes central. For each person in the group is the Creator. And each person is seeing the other people in the group more or less as the Creator. daylight for such a group is that climate in which it is remembered. That all entities are the creator. Darkness for such a group falls when entities within the group forget the absolute identity of other self and creator. When a community such as L&L Research gathers and begins to attempt to work as one, the original impetus that drew entities together must be tested. And so, the mirroring effect sets in. Each looks into the mirror of the other's perceptions. And begins to see all of those parts of the self that the self least wishes to see. That is because it is a very positive and helpful function of a community that is operating on the spiritual level to help each other to grow closer to the one infinite creator. And the way that this is done is by bringing up all these lost sheep of self, all these parts of the self that are not redeemed, loved, and accepted. There are many occasions for each member of such a group when the information given about the shadow side simply overwhelms sight. The world darkens, and the shadows lengthen. It is easy to lose one's way, to trip and to fall in the dark. It is a somewhat painful experience, literally speaking, as well as figuratively, to fall. And falling is a rather drastic way of saying, metaphorically, that sometimes it is necessary to let go of what you think you know. While you are fallen, touch the earth. Reestablish contact with the ground under your feet, both physically and metaphysically.
Realize that you are always safe within the context of having fallen down. The ground of being is very real and trustable, as is the ground beneath your feet. In the process of all this growth, you can always find the ground of being by letting yourself fall down. Indeed, rejoice in having fallen down. Rejoice in having expressed some of this energy that was previously being expressed in mental and emotional frustration. How shall you dust yourself off and begin again? Shall you simply assume that you are now standing up in the same world in which you fell down? We encourage you to open up your mind to the possibility that you stand up in a new world. What shall you make this new world to be? How shall you grow? Is there another query at this time? We are those of Ukuo and are aware that we seem to have exhausted the supply of questions in this circle of seeking at this time. It has been our pleasure to work with these questions, and we thank each of you for putting aside the time and the energy to spend time in seeking and questing for the truth. We hope that our poor thoughts have been of some small value to you, and we can assure you unequivocally that your questions have been very valuable to us, as has been the experience of your beauty, which always takes our breath away. We thank you from the bottoms of our hearts, and we leave you as we found you, in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We are known to you as those of the principle of the cool. Adonai. Adonai.